Turns, if you will, to the 11th chapter of Luke. Luke, the 11th chapter. And we'll begin in verse 1. We're glad you're here. We have so many people who are out of town today or sick. It's that time of the year, and cold and flu season, I'm sure, is upon us. And so we want to remember those who are away from us this morning. Hope you're doing well. I hope you're a little more awake than was my class this morning. The middle school class tended to be a little on the sleepy side today, and I don't know why that is. Maybe the Buchanans kept them all out too late last night. I don't know about that, but I sure know they had a lot of fun and had a great time, and I'm glad for that. But I'm sure the cold and the damp and the rain and all of that has nothing to do with it, and I'm sure that when your alarm clock went off this morning, you were so excited to get out of bed, and I'm sure you probably wish right now I wouldn't talk so loud because you're sleepy. Luke 11, beginning in verse 1. It happened that while Jesus was praying, in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it honestly and answer it just to yourself. Nobody else needs to know. When you pray, do you sometimes have trouble staying on point? Or are you like me? Sometimes when I pray, my thoughts tend to go on a zigzag kind of pattern. And distractions come, like a swarm of gnats on a hot August night. Sometimes I think we get attention deficit disorder when it comes to prayer. Jesus said it this way, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so sometimes when we pray, sometimes when I pray, I start to pray and then I start thinking about stuff and I start thinking about 101 other things I need to be doing instead of what I'm doing at the moment, which is just trying to pray. And I think about that sometimes and I think, well, maybe we make prayer too complicated. When, ladies and gentlemen, it's not complicated at all. When they came to Jesus in verse 1 and they said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? What does Jesus do in the following verses? Does he give them 4 pages of text? And he says unto them, now, here's what you need to know, and these are the words you need to say, and you need to memorize all of this. He doesn't do any of that. He doesn't give them 4 pages of text. He gives them 4 verses. In reality, he gives them about 2.5 verses. Just some pretty simple stuff. Now, we pray. We do. We pray when we need something. We pray if the tests come back and it's not what we hoped. We pray when the money runs out and there's still months left over. We pray when the unborn baby hasn't kicked all day and we begin to get concerned and we pray about those kinds of things. It's not like we don't pray at all. We all pray some. But what would it be like to pray more? And what would it be like to pray better? And by better, I mean with more faith, with more fervency. We all pray, but how? And when? And where? And maybe the biggest question of prayer of all is why? Why? You have to admit that prayer feels sort of odd, doesn't it? I mean, you're standing there or you're seated there and you're speaking out into space. You can't even get the cable company to call you back on the phone. And the creator of the universe is? You try to get a hold of a doctor and they're always too busy. And you're telling me God isn't too busy? Well, then again, most of us have a checkered history with prayer. We've prayed and it always hasn't worked out exactly like we wanted it to. At least that's the way it seems. The point is, when it comes to prayer, there's a lot of pieces to this jigsaw puzzle of prayer. And maybe we make it a little too complicated. Do you ever think about that? They came to Jesus with a very simple request. They came to Jesus and they said, "Would you help us with this? Would you teach us to pray?" By the way, that's the only tutorial. That's the only tutorial they ever requested. It's the only thing the 12 ever specifically requested of Him in regard. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, they had been around Him long enough to know that prayer wasn't just something Jesus did, but that prayer was a part of everything He did, because prayer was a part of who He was. They had watched Him pray before He would eat. They watched Him pray for the sick. He prayed for the children. He prayed for the lost. He prayed with tears and great emotion. Here is the one who made the planets and set the stars, and yet He prayed. He is the Lord of the angelic host. He is the commander in chief of the heavenly host, and yet He prayed. He is co-equal with the Father. He is the exact representation of the Holy One, and yet He prayed. He's out in the desert praying. He's out in the cemetery praying. He's in the garden praying. Mark 1 and verse 35 said, He departed to a lonely place and was praying. Luke 5 and verse 16 says, He went away often to the wilderness to pray. Did you hear the dialogue among the 12? As they get up one morning and somebody says, "Anybody seen Jesus?" And somebody else says, "He's been gone since sunrise." And then there's that look between them, because they knew where He was, because He did that often. So they come with a simple request, "Lord, teach us to pray," and He gives them a very simple answer. Not complicated at all. When the disciples asked Him, "Lord, teach us to pray," He gave them a prayer. He doesn't give them a lecture about prayer. He doesn't give them doctrine about prayer. He doesn't give them some kind of complicated ecclesiastical mantra about prayer. He just gives them some very simple words. If I may paraphrase, "Father, You are holy and good. I need help. Please feed me. Please forgive me. Help me to forgive other people because they need help too. And speaking of help, help me not to sin. In Jesus' name, amen." That's it? Apparently so. That's why I say to you, we make prayer complicated sometimes when it's not. Prayer is not some kind of thing that we go to some weekend seminar and study about. And it doesn't have to be some hour-long meditation all of the time either. Jesus said prayer is pretty simple. In fact, Jesus said it can be pretty portable. It's just simple conversations with God. When you're driving to work, when you're seated and waiting for an appointment, when you're driving home from work. The hand of faith on the door of your heart is what prayer is all about. And Jesus says, "Open the door. Open the door." Now, we're hesitant. We're hesitant because our house is a mess. Our life is a mess. And we say to Him, but Lord, everything about me right now is a mess. I really don't want You to see me like this. And Jesus says, open the door. But Lord, I'm not much of a conversationalist. Open the door. But Lord, I haven't talked to You in a long time. Open the door. Simple. We speak, He listens. And I tell you what I get out of this. Father, You are holy and You're good. I need help. Please feed me. Please forgive me. Help me to forgive others because they need help too. And help me not to sin. Amen. You know what happens when you invite Jesus into your world in such a simple way? When you invite God into your world in such a simple way, He comes in. And when the Lord comes in, He doesn't just walk in empty-handed. He comes in bearing gifts. He brings you the gift of joy, and He brings you the gift of peace, and He'll bring the gift of patience, and He will bring the gift of wisdom. If any lack wisdom, let him ask. And when you and I pray as we should, it's interesting. The anxieties still come, don't they? They don't go away. But when you pray as you should, the anxieties don't stick. They don't stick. Fears are still part of our life and they bubble to the surface, but they don't last. And Satan keeps handing you the rocks of guilt. You just hand them back off to God and let Him take care of that. I can't explain how that works, but I know it does. Sometimes when you've got 6 decades under your belt, you learn a few things. And what you learn is you're a lot happier and you're a lot healthier and you're a lot more hopeful when you pray. And I tell you what Jesus is trying to help them understand is that prayer is not reserved for the pious and the few. That what prayer is a heart-to-heart talk between a father and a child. Didn't Jesus talk about that? Unless you become like little children. You ever listen to a kid pray? When kids pray, they don't use big words. When kids pray, it's not very formal. When kids pray, they don't try to strut their stuff. It's just pretty simple. Kid will pray for everything. A kid will pray for things you don't even think. Ask a kid to pray for a meal and he's going to thank you, God, for the mashed potatoes and thank you, God, for the macaroni and cheese and please help my mom not to make green peas anymore. And a kid's going to pray for all that kind of stuff. I was eating supper in somebody's home one night and this kid was leading a prayer and this kid is going on and on and on. I'm thinking the gravy's forming over the film's pouring over the gravy. He's talking so long. But he's just going on and on about all these individual little things. And then he stops. And there's this awkward silence. And I thought, well, he must be stuck or something. I don't know. And I raised up and I looked. And when I raised up my head, and looked, he was looking right at me. Right dead center at me. And he said, what's your name? And so I told him my name, and he prayed for me, and he went on just like everything's just fine. Didn't bother him a bit. I don't think it bothered God a bit at all. Unless you become like little children. It's the picture of a child who sits down in the lap of his father at the end of the day. And folks, God is inviting us to do the same thing. And that's a relief. Because if we're not careful, we can get caught up in all of the prayer etiquette and the prayer posture and the prayer wording. I mean, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I say the word prostate instead of prostrate? What if I misspeak and say wrong words? Let me ask you this question. Do you think a kid worries about those kinds of things when his father's walking through the front door at the end of the day? You think a kid's worried about that? I'm going to pick on Curtis Harrington. You think Curtis Harrington's kids all day long are worried about their daddy coming home at the end of the day, and their mom sits them down and says, now here's some things you need to say to dad when he walks through the door. Let's practice. Let's get it all down so we got all the right words at just the right time. I doubt that happens. And maybe there's some families like that, and maybe there's some fathers like that that evoke that kind of fear. I don't know about that. But I tell you, most don't. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father. And I'll tell you why else that's important. Because it's hard to show off to your Father who knows you better than does anyone. And Jesus talked about that too. He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. And they stand on the street corners and they make sure they pray long prayers in the synagogue. He said, don't do that. And the words of Jesus when He told them not to do that must have stunned them. Because they were raised in a religious world just like ours, in which in their mind prayer was reserved for special people and only in special places. I mean, prayer is something the priest and the rabbi does, and prayer is something that people who wore special robes did in special secret temple rooms. Jesus comes on the scene and turns to the common people, you know, farmers and fishermen and stonemasons and blacksmiths, and said, hey, you can pray just like them. And Jesus said, by the way, you don't have to go into some little secret room out in the temple. You can go into your closet and pray. Which says prayer is not about geography and prayer is not about vocabulary. It's not about that. Now, I don't know anything about your closet. Maybe you've got a really nice closet. But there's not anything holy about my closet. If you go and look at my closet, there's clothes in there. There's four pair of shoes in there. Yes, I only have four pair of shoes. I don't know how many my wife has. I'm not even going in her closet. But I got some clothes in my closet. I got some shoes in my closet. We keep all the suitcases in my closet. We keep a bunch of other stuff in there. But there's not anything special about it. It's not like when somebody comes to the house and we have company come and we're so excited that I want to show you my closet. Nobody, we don't do that. We don't take company and hey, let's eat in the closet. We don't do that either. We don't say, hey, let's step into the closet so we can talk. People don't do that. But isn't it interesting? God says, you know, that might be a pretty good place to talk to me. We says God is low on fancy and high on accessibility. And by the way, God doesn't place a lot of value on the length of your words either. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 6 and verse 7, about people who think they're going to be heard because they use a lot of words. And so we get this idea, the more words in my prayer, the better. And then we get the idea that the better words we use, the better. And what Jesus is saying is, geography and vocabulary may impress people, but they don't impress God. The point is, if prayer depends upon how I pray and where I pray and what I say and making sure I got all the right words and all the right places, and I'm probably not going to do so well. But if prayer depends upon the one who hears my prayer, then I have hope. So what I'm saying to you this morning is, I think the same thing He's saying to us here. Let's resist this urge to make complicated what isn't complicated. What Jesus is telling them when they come and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. He is saying, just speak your heart. Lift your voice to the one who hears and declare, O Father, you are holy, you are good, I need help, please feed me, please forgive me, help me to forgive others because they need help too, and help me not to sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you tell me what's complicated about that? I don't think anything's complicated about that. I want you to look at the words in the supplement that we're going to sing, number 28. I was trying to think of a song that captured the essence of what Jesus is trying to get them to understand. And I thought of this song, because I think it does exactly that. I want you to look at the words, "For you have promised," and see if this doesn't fit the message of Jesus. Listen to this. "Oh Father, draw me close to you. Calm now my spirit. Peace renew. And yes, I know you hear, for you are near. For you have promised, and I believe. I lift my hand to reach your face. Find in your arms a hiding place." I just think of the Father who comes home at the end of the day. "To be enfolded there within your care. For you have promised, and I believe. I speak your name into the night. Seek through the pain your healing light. And then I will not fear, for you are here. For you have promised, and I believe. Secure my heart, Lord, as I kneel. Make sure my trust, my all, I yield. Then I'll be one with you in all I do. For you have promised, and I believe." We sing this song, I think, because it captures the essence of what we've tried to say this morning. We also offer it as a song of invite to the invitation of Jesus. If you're not a Christian, you can obey the gospel this very morning. And you too, through the obedience to His plan and His will, upon being baptized for the remission of your sins, you can become His child, and you can call Him Father. Won't you come while we stand?